What is the difference between a betting allegation versus a match fixing allegation?
The allegation is that he's been betting, but the defense is that, oh, I was just on these illegal betting websites playing card games. Sounds legit, Krishna. What do you think? We let that slide.
Honestly, who can blame him? It's Diwali time. If he wants to play a little bit of online teen patti, who are we to blame him, man?
There is this angle towards them being addicted to betting, right? I mean, you can't take addiction of any kind lightly.
I think there should be a ban on betting. Even if you're not playing, even with different teams in football, you just have more information on the inside. And two, because it's a slippery slope.
You can also bet on player movement, manager sacking. There are several scenarios which have become a bettable event.
Whenever he was playing, he pretty much bet on his team winning. Whenever he was not playing, he pretty much bet on his team not winning. You should know that's not good.
No kidding, right? I think getting fined £70,000 for a £27 bet is as hilarious as it can get.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast by the fans, for the fans. In this week's episode, we're talking all about betting. We're going to talk about the betting scandals that have occurred, some of those that have occurred recently, including Ivan Toney, as well as Sandro Tonali. We're also going to look back a little bit in the history of betting in football. Again, we're going to focus a little bit more on betting scandals, so not on match fixing. So some of the nuances we'll get into as well during our conversation of what is the difference between a betting allegation versus a match-fixing allegation? Today, you're joined by two of your co-hosts, which is myself, Rishabh, and Aniket Gui.
Hello. What is
and up? Before we dig into this week's episode, though, a quick reminder of last week's episode. We did kind of a two-episode summary of what we think about the future of cricket. You know, what is the future of cricket looking like in terms of format? Are we going to see more test cricket, more T20 cricket, ODIs? How the shorter form of the game is kind of impacting the sport in general. And then also some of the push and pull that's happening between club cricket and international cricket and some of the tensions that are being faced by players who have to make a decision between those two. So check that out as well. With that, Gui, let's get into this week's episode, all about betting allegations. It's one that is kind of rocked football this year, specifically because of a big name, which is Sandro Tonali, in association with a betting scandal that actually started before he joined Newcastle, while he was in the Serie A playing for AC Milan. Gui, can you just give a rundown of what's going on and what is the impact for Newcastle this season?
Before I give a rundown, for everyone who has tuned in, we're recording this a day after the VAR shit show, which was Newcastle versus Arsenal. All right. So I am extremely pleased to say that Newcastle got temporarily robbed of 70 million. All right. So I'm more than happy that one of their most expensive signings can't play for them this season. All right.
We needed the counterbalancing force of the two United fans on this podcast to counterbalance some of our frustrations. I think may not have been the best thing in hindsight to have a podcast that centered around Newcastle right after an Arsenal-Newcastle game. But anyway, such is life.
I will set aside my frustration with that game. Anyway, I mean, players involved in a betting scandal off late. Biggest name, I'd say Sandro Tonali, who, again, had to leave the Italian national team camp, also suspended, I think, for what, 10-ish months? 10 is the right number, I think. Ivan Toney was recently suspended for 8 months. Although the probe into the Tonali betting allegation is slightly wider, there are more players involved. That probe is still ongoing. I think Niccolo Zaniolo was also a part of it. And I think there's another prominent Italian player. I think a Juventus player. So there is also a Juventus player involved in the same racket, so to speak. All right. Tonali has also bet on his own club. Now, there are different fines or different lengths of suspensions for betting on your own club versus betting on different clubs. What has Zaniolo done and why is his ban not already crystallized? Because the allegation is that he's been betting, but the defense is that, oh, I was just on these illegal betting websites playing card games. Okay, online card games. Okay, Sounds legit, Krishna. What do you think? We let that slide and let Zaniolo play for Aston Villa.
Honestly, who can blame him? It's Diwali time. If he wants to play a little bit of online teen patti, who are we to blame him, man? I forgive Zaniolo. I'm sure it's because of Diwali. That is the only reason he was on.
Krishna, where did you track his Indian heritage to? So I think you touched upon what is already an important difference, right? Match fixing versus betting, completely different thing, right? Match fixing, both, I mean, you're trying to alter the result of a game, not alter, trying to dictate the result of a game well in advance, all right? Betting, on the other hand, you could place a bet on Saeed Benrahma scoring a screamer in the 65th minute with his head. I mean, there someone will give you odds for that. All right. Of course, I think these are things which have slowly developed into the game in the last 15-ish years. All right. I mean, I have watched professional sports for at best 23, 4 years. First 10 years, obviously, no clue that, oh, this can be rigged. WWE is fake. Oh, nobody told me. But yeah, to come to the thick of it, what do you think? Betting on your own team versus betting on other sides deserves a different form of ban? Yes or no? Like, I could be playing in, I'm betting on my own side, but I'm not part of the team. Say I've been injured.
I agree. I think the ban punishment should be different. But I also, I'm weirdly in agreement. The timeline is kind of confusing, right? And it's hard to get an exact number on how long the punishment should be. But I think there should be a ban on betting, no matter what the context of the game, right? So even if you're not playing, even if it's different teams in football, you just have more information on the inside. And two, because it's a slippery slope, right? Even if you say, oh, I'm not betting on my games, it's a very slippery slope to start betting on your games. But I'm also in agreement that there's a big difference between betting against your team and betting for your team, or betting on something very specific in your team that maybe you can't control. And I actually love that you brought that up, because one of the reasons that Tonali, you know, you would think if you're match fixing, you know, you could get honestly a lifetime ban. You can be completely ruled out from the sport altogether. One of the big reasons that Tonali is only a 10-month ban that became effective in October 2023 and will go all the way till August 2024 is that even though he did bet, even on games that he was in, so he did make bets on Milan games, he bet on Milan to win. So, I mean, he should be trying to win the game either way. I doubt like he's trying to win the game because he took a bet on Milan. So that was kind of one of the reasons why it wasn't considered, you know, it wasn't considered match fixing per se. He was sort of, you know, rooting for his team. The one additional nuance with him also is that in addition to the 10-month ban, he does have to do 8 months of rehabilitation work to basically work on a gambling addiction. I'm not entirely sure if he, I don't know if he has a gambling addiction, but I think it's just considered that something you have to do.
Okay. And community service.
Like this. Exactly. So I think it's totally like a 18-month, you know, 18-month period that he has to be doing something or the other for, but football ban is only 10 months. But I think going back to your initial point, Gui, I think, yes, the stakes should be different. It is different to bet against your team versus betting for your team. And it is different to bet when you're not able to control the results. But I still think there should be a punishment. Like, I understand the rationale for why the punishments exist. And I still think there should be, you know, some kind of repercussion.
Okay, so then I would like to gather your thoughts on Ivan Toney's punishment. All right, he is similar length of punishment, 200 plus breaches. All right, his, like, the ban or suspension period, or what, I mean, I don't want to say punishment as such, but punishment was kind of, you know, say, softened in a way, considering the age at which the breaches occurred. Saying he's 27 now, he has engaged in it, say, like, for the last 3 or 4 years. So he was far too young to understand the implications of what he is doing. Is sort of one of the reasons why the punishment was softened a little. What are your thoughts on that? Like, I mean, this is completely arbitrary, right? Who's to say that a 23-year-old isn't mature enough to know what they're doing? Also, Ivan Toney, yes, different rules sort of for when you're betting for your team versus against. Ivan Toney has bet against his team a few times, right? Also, by the way, like, if you're comparing who's done the most betting, Ivan Toney is probably at the top in all the names we've thrown in today. He has bet, I think, while he's played for 3 or 4 teams, He's bet on all of those teams. The results going either way. He's bet on himself to score. It's more broad range as compared to say Tonali betting mostly over AC Milan games. That's based on available information. We're not saying one is worse than the other, but I think the FA investigation just happened to have more information than whoever investigated for me, which is I think the Italian prosecution for football.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the challenges with this thing is exactly like you said, there isn't a whole lot of consistency in what the punishment would be, right? I think each of the football federations have their own rules on how long the punishment can be, but there isn't a lot of clarity on exactly how long it will be. So like you said, each of these instances, it typically goes to some kind of hearing and then there's an adjustment based on it. The reason I'm honestly okay with that is I think there's a little bit of logic. Is I'm not saying it'll always going to be fair. There will be issues that come up, but there is generally some logic applied to adjust the period that has occurred, right? Like you said, for Ivan Toney, the justification was maybe that he's younger. I think one of the other nuances is that for Ivan Toney, you know, of the 8 months, I think the first 4 months, he's not even able to practice with his team. So I think on September 17th, he'll be able to go back to practicing with the team and at least go to training. But he'll only be able to play starting January 2024. So there's a little bit of a lag of 4 months.
Hopefully he does it for us.
And hopefully by that time, you're right. Hopefully by that summer transfer, he's doing it for Arsenal and not Brentford. But yeah, it is. I think there's just a little bit of nuance and inconsistency. And I think maybe as this becomes more of a prevalent issue, there'll be more of a UEFA regulation or a FIFA regulation that makes the ruling more consistent. I think it would be helpful to have a little more consistency. But with any rule, I think I'm okay with there being a little bit of wiggle room for situational differences, right? Like, are you betting for and against your team? The age of the player. Is it a person, was it him directing betting directly or was it someone else involved in the family who is betting directly, right? Was he just giving information about something that's about to happen and some other like relative bet on his behalf? Like, I can't always blame a player for that necessarily happening. So I think there needs to be nuance and there needs to be space to allow for that nuance. And I think just going to your point on Ivan Toney, exactly like what you said, a summary of his charges, there were 126 bets that were made by Ivan Toney in matches, you know, relating to games that were in competitions that Brentford were actually in at the time. Of those 126, 29 were in respect of the club that Toney was playing for at the time. Of those 29, 16 were related to his own team, of which 15 of them were betting on his team winning, which is kind of nice. And so just to confirm, of those 29, 16 were games in which he was playing. And of those, 15 of those, he bet on the team winning. It is funny though. Of the 29, there were 13 that were placed by Toney, but in games where he was not playing. And all 13 of those, I think he bet on his team not winning. So whenever he was playing, he pretty much bet on his team winning. Whenever he was not playing, he pretty much bet on his team not winning. So it's a little bit, it's a bit of a funny situation. Again, it's not match fixing.
The energy I want at Arsenal, right? This is the energy I want. Like, I need to play every game. Okay, I am going to make this side win. This is the energy we want in the front line. Let's go.
But it just seems like a weird thing for this to come out and be in part of the same team, right? It just seems like a toxic environment. Like, I can't imagine going back to your teammates and being like, yeah, admittedly, when I don't play, I kind of think we can't win. It just seems like a shitty thing to do as a teammate. It's also funny, when he did, he also, 15 times, he also bet on himself scoring. So, again, it's hard to, you know, say it's too dangerous when it's a player betting on themselves or betting on their team, because anyway, they're trying to win. But A, like we spoke about earlier, it's a slippery slope to betting against your team. And in the case of Ivan Toney, he has bet against his team, even though it was in games that he didn't play. And B, like, it will play on your mind, right? It's simple things like decision-making when you're one-on-one with a keeper, with a player to your side. As it is, we know strikers are kind of prone to not passing the ball in those situations. If you have the added information that you've taken out a bet for yourself to score, there's an even more justification to not make the most sensible decision. I understand why the ban was served. I'm okay with there being some kind of justification that he was young. Saying that he was unaware of what he was doing, to me, seems unlikely. It seems unlikely that someone, even at the age of 15 years old, didn't know the repercussions of betting against your team, especially in a game. You should know that's not good.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Mr. I genuinely have a question for you, like, because I don't mean to trivialize it, but say Ivan Toney, he basically, like, Tonali also and Toney, I think there is this angle towards them being addicted to betting, right? Which is why you need the wiggle room in terms of changing what their sentence looks like in terms of the ban or a suspension. Because it's really important, because, I mean, you can't take addiction of any kind lightly, right? And the impact of how it kind of will play on someone's mind when that has a negative impact on their day-to-day, right? But I think in England, like, football is not allowed to bet on any form of football. There are plenty of other sports to kind of put your money into. And England being a kind of a sport heavy plus a betting heavy nation, I think there is enough avenues to kind of splurge your cash on. This is why you kind of say, you know, it's a slippery slope to betting against your own team, because you would probably want to bet where, you know, you kind of have a, how do I put it, vested interest, which is where I think the Ivan Toney kind or even the Tonali type of situation is much more difficult than say, like, betting on a third team altogether.
And I think that's a great point, because I don't know if I went over this earlier, but just to go over the exact rules. So for the Italian Football Federation, the exact rule is players, coaches, and officials are barred from betting on any events organized either by the Italian Football Federation, FIFA, or UEFA. So they're actually banned on being involved with any games that are organized by those three associations, even if it's not associated with their team. And anyone found to contravene with that code can be banned for up to 3 years and face a minimum fine of 25,000 euros. So I think they've tried to make the rule as broad as possible and have as broad a punishment as they can possibly provide. But then, like you said, when there are nuances like Tony's and Tonali's instance, they're saying, okay, we're not going to give you 3 years for this. We'll shorten it a lot. But the rule is that you can bet on nothing related to basically football across the globe is essentially what it is. And the rule for English football is you cannot bet on football for basically any football that's related to the English association. So you can't bet on the Premier League, you can't bet on the English Football League, National League. And for women, I don't think they can bet on the Women's Super League and the FA Women's Championship level, as well as those at the clubs in the Northern, Southern, and Isthmian leagues. And all other participants would not fall in the category below. I don't even know what that means.
No, I think they have a cap. Like, I think it's the fourth tier or the fifth tier. Below that, it's kind of open to betting.
That makes sense. Like, you can bet on your local pub. Like, your local pub is playing another pub. Like, you can probably bet on that. That's, like, not the end of the world.
But you can't do what Kieran Trippier did or what Daniel Sturridge did, which is pass insider information.
And we'll get into that, because that's actually the way I'm going to segue. I'll just finish off this one point, though, about the continue with the England rules. In addition to betting on any domestic tournaments, there is also a worldwide ban on betting on any other football-related matter. So you can't bet on the transfer of players, the employment of managers or team selection, or the passing of inside information to someone that uses the information for betting remains. Oh, sorry. Betting remains. For betting. I started reading the next sentence on. So Gui, that's actually a great segue into two cases that you started to bring up right now. Can you give a bit of a description? Because those two are slightly different than this one, which is more about betting on the outcome of a game or on specific instances within a game. Can you describe what happened to Kieran Trippier and Daniel Sturridge in the past that are a slight variation of betting that caused issues?
Yeah, so one would imagine that betting is very straightforward, right? One team's winning, other team's losing, or it's a draw. So you have three outcomes. But no, there are odds on a player scoring in the first half, second half, first player scores first, then the two wingers score one each, and then the striker doubles up, and then there is a goalkeeper who has headed it into his own net. All of you can, so there are accumulator bets. There are bets on, like, several situations, one after the other, in which, you know, the odds are quite high. So Similarly, I think you can also bet on player movement, manager sacking. There are several scenarios which have become a bettable event, so to speak. So Daniel Sturridge and Kieran Trippier involved in almost an identical situation where they passed on information to their brothers. Okay, their respective brothers, not each other's brothers. So their respective brothers.
That would
About
have been wild if Sturridge was flagged for messaging Trippier's brother and Trippier for Sturridge's brother. I don't think anyone was thinking that, Gui. What a wild thing to call out.
The point being, it would have been a punishable offense either way. Okay, like you can't.
Good point, I guess.
So you can't. So they were both caught passing information about probable transfers of their own selves, in which case they were fined quite a hefty amount. I think Kieran Trippier was fined like somewhere in the range of 70,000 pounds. Which is probably half of what he makes at Newcastle, so it's okay. In a week, sorry, in a week. Let me make that very clear. So, that I do not believe that Newcastle players have been fined appropriately. Please, just in case you missed the first half, somehow stumbled onto the podcast after 20 minutes of us having been into it. I do not like how the Newcastle and Arsenal game played out. Okay, just putting it out there again.
The TLDR is Arsenal just lost to us. We just lost to Newcastle 1-0, a day before we're recording this. So there's a lot of Arsenal hate from the two Arsenal fans here.
There is a lot of hoop it.
Oh, I thought I said Newcastle hate. What did I say? Arsenal hate? Oh, sorry. Edit. Newcastle hate. There we go.
So yeah, I think that's kind of ridiculous. It's like saying, you know what, I'm going to switch jobs. Bet on me resigning this week. I mean, you're kind of like giving very straight up information. I guess there in a football transfer situation, there are a lot more nuances. Like the other team agrees fees, you agree your salaries, and all those things may or may not play out. Which is why the bet is existed in the first place. Otherwise, you're just, passing downright information that this is happening. But still, it's kind of you are rigging the field. So I think they're fined appropriately in the sense that a fine and a suspension is correct. Can't really comment on the specifics of the length or the value of the fine because then what does it matter to Premier League players who earn thousands and thousands of pounds, so that doesn't matter. I think the length of the suspension is more important for them and the club. I think Trippier, much like Tonali, was at a different club when the fine or when the suspension kicked in, right? So I think that doesn't really play out well for the club who kind of buying into your services. Sturridge also had like kind of an extension on his suspension, like the period was kind of tweaked for whatever reasons.
And I completely agree with you. I think they're completely justified. I mean, of course, you can't bet on something that you know already beforehand what the outcome is going to be. Just to provide a super quick summary, exactly like Gui mentioned, for Trippier, $70,000 fine, as well as a 10-week suspension. And it was in association with his transfer from Tottenham to Atletico Madrid. For Sturridge, it was initially supposed to be I think it was initially supposed to be a 6-week ban and a fine of 75,000. Like Gui said, it was adjusted to be a 4-month ban and a 150,000 pound fee that he had to pay. And it was in relation to a possible transfer to Sevilla that he was going to make. I think at that time he was playing for Liverpool. So I think it was between a potential move from Liverpool to Sevilla in 2018. And at the time when it finally came about that he would get a suspension, he was playing for the Turkish club Trabzonspor. I've heard this team, but I don't know if I've ever heard to say it. Trabzonspor. And he basically, through mutual agreement, they both decided to get out of the contract. So both of them related to transfers. What I do love about the Kieran Trippier incident was his argument was that it was just a WhatsApp group between his friends and it was just a bit of banter. And the conversation, Gui, I'm just going to go through over one of the text messages, which is just It's just so British because I didn't even understand what they were saying. The conversation is from his friend. Shall I lump on you going there? Trippier, can do, mate. Friend responds, 100% trips? Trippier, yeah, mate. Don't blame me if something goes wrong. It shouldn't, but just letting you know. Trippier then adds, lump on if you want, mate. I literally didn't even understand what the hell they were saying, but apparently lump is a phrase that is a word that is used for betting in the UK. And that was basically the conversations that came up. And so apparently the next day, another friend sent a message saying he's got odds of 6-1 on that transfer from him transferring from Tottenham to Atletico. And £27 was bet by that friend who they've not identified the name of the guy. And then Trippier, you know, on a group that included that friend, basically said it's happening. So pretty similar instances. They've just spoken to people close to them.
I think getting fined £70,000 for a £27 bet is as hilarious as it can get. You know, I thought the sum must have been quite high. But okay, now I think that a 70,000 fine is justifiable. That's too much. Too much money.
You know what's hilarious? Now that I think about it, yeah, that's such a tiny bet. Even 6-1, that's like a little over £150. Like, it's really nothing. It's really not a whole lot to like write home about. What's hilarious is they do say, but there were two follow-up bets made for £42 and £50. So still not like insane amounts per se. But admittedly, they did get a little bit bigger where there were two further bets made later on that were £22, £20, and then £300. Again, not really much compared to salaries. Like £300 is probably the biggest one. But I guess it's more of the sometimes the idea is, you know, is worse than maybe the actual cost.
I don't want to be rude, but Kieran Trippier's friends don't seem to be doing too well financially. Like maybe you should fund their bets. £22.
That's a really good point. I can't imagine how annoying, even though I know Trippier earns a lot of money, I can't imagine the frustration of him learning that he has to pay a £70,000 fine on what were basically bets all generally between the range of £20 and £60. That must be the most frustrating realization. Admittedly, I think the Sturridge one, if I'm not mistaken, was a little bit more intense. I'm trying to see if they have the exact amounts. Okay, so Sturridge, almost 14,000 was wagered in total by people directly or indirectly connected to Sturridge. And attempts were made to place a further £20,000 on potential moves for the striker. So for Sturridge, it was more significant, either like, you know, from people somewhat related to him. So those were at least larger. What's hilarious, though, is they were all betting on a move from Liverpool to Sevilla that eventually didn't end up going through. And he actually went to West Brom on loan. So I can't even imagine how pissed off the people who bet on his behalf. They've betted approximately, like they were trying to bet almost £13,000 on something that he's like, yeah, this should probably happen. And it doesn't happen.
I think we should have a poll on which bet was worse. Who got more heart done? Kieran Trippier or Emil Sturridge's relatives?
I think honestly, this Sarish sounds a lot like one of those friends who's like overly confident way before something happens. Like, haan, pakka, wo to hone wala hai. Main keh raha hu na, ho gaya. Bas main keh raha hu ki ho jayega. And then 3 weeks later, comes back to you and says, "Arey, hone wala tha." Like it was about to get done. It was about to get done. Bas last minute mein kuch ho gaya that it didn't get done. And then you basically rearranged all of your plans to now go to a visit to Sevilla in March. And this friend has now told you he's not going to be in Sevilla anymore. So it is a very funny situation. The one other situation I just want to bring up, only because it's a current investigation that's going on, is Lucas Paqueta with West Ham. Another big marquee signing by West Ham, similar to Sandro Tonali's move to Newcastle. His is actually in relation to a yellow card. For context, Lucas Paqueta, which I learned through this article, you know, is from a really small island off the coast of Brazil. And very interestingly, a probe into him began when several bookmakers in Brazil received like a weird number of bets that Paqueta would be booked during West Ham's Premier League game against Aston Villa that happened on March 12th. And they found out that a lot of the suspicious bets could eventually be specifically traced back to Paqueta Island, where Lucas Paqueta is from. apparently it's pretty common that island that you take the last name of the island that you're from. So in general, apparently a lot of betting companies, any yellow card bet from a new account automatically triggers a warning within these companies' monitoring systems. And apparently a bunch of new accounts had been opened and created just to specifically make this yellow card bet. What was interesting is Paqueta, of course, was booked with 20 minutes left in West Ham's game. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he hadn't had that many yellow cards leading up to the game. Oh, and he signed last season, if I'm not mistaken. So he wasn't like a regular yellow card. He signed last season? Maybe season before? He signed August 2022. So last season. Okay, so he did sign last season, and I think leading up to it, I gotta check the stats, but I think it was either two or five yellow cards he got before that game. So nothing like crazy per se, but he does get a yellow card in that game. That's basically what triggered off the review into a potential betting issue for him as well. So far, no information. He's had to do a few interviews, and I think he's had to go in for a few review conversations, but nothing is yet that we've heard from him, but it's something that could potentially be an issue going forward. So with that, that's all the cases that we want to cover. Of course, there are a lot more betting scandals that you can look into from the past. There's one with Joey Barton as well. There are lots of other interesting ones you looked into, but we hope from this episode you probably have a good idea of the cases where sports betting can or can't be considered to be match fixing. And hopefully this gives you an idea of like some of the more recent instances that have happened. But Gui, before we sign off, I want to challenge you a little bit. And since it's all about betting, I have looked through a few online betting websites on a few different questions, and I'm going to rapid fire ask you some questions. First things that come to mind, you're not competing with anyone because I obviously have the answers. I'm going to ask you a few football related questions, just betting on odds for most likely to win certain things, most likely to lose certain things. But with that, are you ready, Gui? Are you ready to get into them? Rapid fire.
Very important question. Do I get
Yes.
options?
You will not have any options whatsoever, but you shouldn't really need options. It's very few, like specifics. Like, it's not that specific. You shouldn't need options. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Starting off, let's look at the top three leagues in the world. I'm considering those to be the La Liga, Bundesliga, and Premier League. Let's start off with the Premier League since we've been talking about the Premier League for so long. This is all based on Vegas Insider, so don't complain to me if you don't like these odds, okay? This is just what the odds were given to me from Vegas Insider, okay? Top three teams to win the 2023-2024 Premier League season, Gui.
Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Perfect. Bang on. 1, 2, 3. Man City -150, Arsenal +450, Liverpool +450. Bang on. Next one, La Liga. Same question.
Oh, that is the third team.
That's
Okay,
a good question. We're
Arsenal.
going to Bundesliga next, by the way. So
Let me actually. I'm more petrified about that question.
yep, it gets tougher.
So Barcelona, Madrid, and just for fun, I will say Real Betis.
That is a fun answer. You're actually, I'll also ask you for order. Is that the order you're going with?
Madrid, Barça, Betis.
Perfect. That is absolutely correct. Real Madrid -163, Barcelona +225, Atletico Madrid +500. I think your heart of hearts, you knew it was Atletico, but just to, for fun, you switched it up to Betis, which I appreciate. We got a new team in there. I like to hear that. Actually, I'm going to ask you a fourth one after this, but okay, Bundesliga next up, Gui, Bundesliga.
Bayern Munich, then I will say
Are you really
Leverkusen.
asking it with a questioning tone that it's Bayern Munich one? Yeah.
Bayern Munich, Leverkusen, and Dortmund.
Gui, perfect. I'll be the first to admit I would not have considered Dortmund to be third, especially given, you know, how their last season went down to the wire in the last game. But you are fucking bang on. Bayern Munich 1, -334. Bayern Leverkusen 2, +350. Borussia Dortmund third. You are on a roll, except for Real Betis. That one we'll throw to the side. Last one amongst these types of questions. Top three, Serie A.
So not Inter Milan. Can I go? Can
You can
you
say
say
whatever
that?
you want, baby.
This is actually the least interesting one. I have zero interest in answering this question. But I will say it's a league which I don't watch.
That's fair. I don't really watch too much of it either. But I feel like it is probably the most competitive right now, weirdly. Like, competitively bad. Like, that. I think it's one of the worst leagues, but it is the most competitive in terms of who's going to win it, right? Especially with City's dominance in the Premier League.
I'm just going to say, like, legacy team. So, AC Milan,
Okay.
Roma, and let's name a fun Italian side. Okay, nothing's coming to mind, so I'll just say Juventus.
You are.
What is a fun Italian side? There is no such thing.
I was going to say Atlanta. I feel like Atlanta is kind of fun with Gasperini. They had that like one run in the.
Like, Napoli once upon a time was a fun Italian side. Like,
yes.
When Cavani played there,
Yeah.
Cavani had era, so to speak, but like.
I feel like this era is considered to be fun, I guess, only because they won last year and then they have Osimhen. Again, I don't watch any Italians. I don't watch much Serie A, to be honest, but theoretically, they seem fun. But I will admit, Gui, this is the one where you did fall off the bandwagon. And if you were making bets, which I assume you wouldn't because you don't follow, like, neither of us watch too much Serie A, this is the one where you're kind of wrong. You did get number three right, which was Juventus, but it was one Inter Milan, two AC Milan, three Juventus. Inter minus 110, AC plus 275, Juventus plus 350. So not bad. Honestly, you're not too far off in your defense. I'm going to switch now to specific questions on the Premier League, and I'm basing this on FanDuel. So again, if you have issues with it, I don't really
Who
care.
Do I complain to Krishna? Who do I complain?
You know what?
You
can. You can go to FanDuel's customer service and log in your complaints there and wait for a response on that. But Gui, this should, I think some of this is pretty straightforward. Golden boot in the Premier League, top three.
Salah, Haaland, and maybe Son.
And give me an order.
Salah, Haaland, Son.
Really? Well, you were correct in the top three, but the odds were, are you not picking Haaland first? I mean, to be honest, it's your guess. You get to pick what you want. But it is, you have the right top three, which is Haaland, Salah, and Son. But the order is Haaland first, minus 380. Salah second, plus 650. Son third, plus 1,200. Do you have a guess for any of the next three? If you get any of the next three, it is a bonus point for you and congratulations. You're not competing against anyone, but...
Okay, I'm not going to ask for hints. I'll just
throw it out. I'll give you one. The only hint I'll give you is that of the next three, only one is from the traditional top six.
Traditionally, there was no top six. Let's begin there.
That's a good point. The neo-traditional top six.
Okay, none from the top six. So, Ollie Watkins.
Bang on.
Who else?
Only one from the traditional. Only one from the traditional top.
I don't know what you meant by when the first time you said it, but this is what I understood it to be. Like, there's
okay.
Just one of the next three is from the traditional top six. Okay, let me guess the traditional one. Okay, I'll say like Golden Boot, Run, maybe. I don't think anyone's putting Jesus or Saka there, but maybe. I don't think Martinelli is getting a shout either, actually. I don't think any of the Arsenal boys are making it there. Who else plays in City who scores as many? I don't think.
You are getting warmer with the team you went to.
Oh.
And it is live. So I checked it today. So it does take into account the fact that people have already scored a little bit.
Already scored, like.
World Cup winner in City. I don't think of him very often. To be honest, he's not the first person that comes to
mind. Alvarez is on it.
Surprisingly, four is surprisingly on. Because I think he scored three already. So it might just be influenced by the fact that he scored. And number six, which is kind of not surprising, is Alexander Isak. So Isak. There we go. Okay, now the one that's a little more depressing, but it's sad to do it this way, but we're going to finish off with these last two questions, which is...
Oh, I get it relegated?
Absolutely. You got it. This one comes from independent betting. So again, do not blame me.
Okay, Luton's probably going down. Burnley also, I think, are going down. I don't think Kompany has a way to do what he did in the championship. I think Forest will stay up, but then the question arises, who's going down? I'll say Sheffield.
There we go. I think that's the one that is actually first is Sheffield United, then Luton, then Burnley. Good call out on Burnley. It is kind of strange because I do feel sad because I sometimes like the way they play.
No, that does not hold true for me. I do not like the way they play. But I'm just surprised that with the kind of performance they were putting in the championship, they seem so lost in the Premier League, which has not been the case with Burnley because they've always been a side with very seasoned players and a seasoned manager, and they do trouble most teams. I mean, whatever the kind of gameplay they adopt, they do some. They were never a pushover, which is what they kind of seem like right now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, aren't those all three the promoted teams? Yeah, those are all three of the promoted teams, aren't they?
Yeah.
Gui, but I'm going to finish off on a positive note because that's a pretty depressing note to finish off on. So the odds for the 2026 World Cup, again, this is from Vegas Insiders, are already out for the winners of the 2026 World Cup. Who are the top five? Give me the top five.
France. Let's see. I think the Germans make it this time somehow. England, because I think they're kind of a betting man's favorite in general. So I've named four, right?
Correct.
So I've named three from Europe, one from South America, and I'll say one host nation, I'll say Mexico makes it.
Wow, that is a ballsy pick. You had it kind of right. You had France, Brazil, England, right? The two you missed were Argentina and Spain. Mexico's a tough call, dude. Even in this odds list, I think USA is above Mexico in terms of the picks.
Most certainly they are, yeah.
Yeah, and not a bad call on Germany because Germany is actually sixth in the list. So, okay, now you have the information. It's France, Brazil, England, Argentina, Spain. What is the order?
So, England, I think, say, like, second. Number one would be Brazil, three, Argentina, fourth, France, and fifth, Spain.
Gui, that is impressive as hell. You've gotten basically all of them wrong. You somehow got Spain right, which was fifth. Bro, how are you picking France? France is like the most insane squad. Although, to be fair, as a person who's consistently lost the quiz, I can't judge. I don't know what it's like being on the other end. It's a different experience.
But the point is, it's 3 years away. So I'm thinking from that perspective. It's 3 years down the line.
That is true. Although, dude, they have the best young squad too, man. Dembele, Tchouameni, Kamavinga, Varane is still probably going to make it till then. Upamecano.
They have Saliba.
Yeah. So, just to confirm the order, it's France plus 450, Brazil plus 600, England plus 800, Argentina plus 900, Spain plus 900 as well. Next up were Germany 1000, Portugal 1400, Netherlands 1600, Italy 2000, and then USA 3300 above Belgium. Kind of to be expected. I think USA might be better than Belgium with their aging squad. But Gui, thanks for playing along. That was actually pretty fun. I didn't expect a lot of these answers. I definitely did not expect Julian Alvarez to be fourth on the current Golden Boot prediction. For everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with anyone else who might like it and do check out the other episodes that we have on our channel. But with that, we're signing off with this week. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.